We are back in session. And let's see if we can figure out where we left off. I think we're going back to committee reports. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Well, thank you. We will be meeting, Michelle, when's our meeting? Next Monday? Next Monday. What I wanted to do with my time is, I didn't get to do it last month, but because the meeting ran so long, I want to thank the people who were on the search committee for the new director of finance. His name is Richard Schneider. There was a very nice piece about him in a local newspaper last week. I think it was the Ithaca Times or Tompkins, Ithaca Times. And the people on the committee were Martha Dooley, Michael Lane, Leslin, Brian, Joe, and our outside people were John Saunders, who's a treasurer of the trust company, direct services manager, Mike Stamm, we all know, TCAD, president, and Blixey Tate, dean of operations and enrollment management at TC3. Also, Frank Proto was emailed all the information that we used during the process, and he was able to, you know, see the same things we did. A special shout out to the personnel department, most especially Stephen Estes, who did a great job organizing the search. We did it all for us. Got 25 people. We interviewed a number. We got down to a final three. One person dropped out, and we were able to pick the new director. So I just wanted to say that out loud for the record, and especially the work that Steve Estes did to get us where we are. And the most recent knowledge I have is that Mr. Schneider may be appearing here sometime the first week of May. Steve was saying to me today that he's trying to rent some property and he could be in the area around the first week in May, if not. So thank you all for the work on the committee, and I appreciate it very much. And so does Tompkins County.
Thank you, Jim, and thank you for chairing and for doing a great job at the helm of that committee. Will Burbank came to the finalist interviews, and David was there throughout the whole process. And
of course,
helping.
Well, we will have things planned for him at a later date.
So. That's right. So it was a well done job, and I think we had a great result. So we look forward to welcoming Mr. Schneider. Any questions for Jim? All right. We're Public Safety Committee. Peter, would you be the vice chair?
Yes, we had sure was a difference between the last Public Safety Committee and the Public Safety Committee before. Public Safety Committee before lasted forever, and I could have spent an hour talking about what people said. Last Public Safety Committee, essentially nothing worth your time took place at it. So our next meeting, oh, Lord, I should know that. When is our next meeting?
May 13th.
Yeah, May 13th. May 13th. Thank you.
Right. Any questions for Peter? Thank you, Peter. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie.
Excuse me, I have a question.
Yes, Jim.
Related to the person who appeared here and talked about windows and cell phones, in the last sheriff report that the department gave, there are a list of all the arrests that have been made for not windows, but certainly using phones while people were driving. And there's been especially strong effort on the part of New York State Police and local LEOs to go after those kinds of things, and they've made a special effort and are our department has done that as well.
Thank you, Jim. Leslie McBean Claremore, Chair of Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
Thank you. WDIC, we met once a year. We have a lovely video clip viewing that reminds us of why we do what we do. I'm sorry all of you can be there to see it, and I'll figure out how to censor it so that we can probably show it at a legislature meeting. It is a very good clip, I think. I'll figure out a way, and I'll talk with you, Martha and Joe, that all of us can take a look at it. Joe already mentioned U2O and the work that's going on with that within our county departments and within the county in general. And I do want to, on behalf of our Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee members, thank all of the places in our community that have jumped on board with this initiative, are watching the video, engaging in very good discussions, and people literally walking away with action plans for themselves about what are some of the changes that they will make, knowing some of this information. If you have not had an opportunity yet, please stay tuned and pay attention to where showings and discussions are happening, and try to be there. Carol already mentioned Channel 13 as an example. Last weekend, okay, I'm really tired. I don't remember which weekend it was. But I really want to give a shout out to the folks who worked and organized what I have mentioned here as a celebration of hip-hop. When we talk about diversity, when we talk about inclusion, often when people hear the word hip-hop, they have all kinds of notions. But one of the areas that I thought was just so spectacular was having over 40 to 50 world-famous graffiti artists here in our community, coming to our community from throughout the country and all over the world, as far as Sweden, to come paint and participate in this event, and to have the pioneers of this movement be here to talk about how it came about, what was real, some of the difficulties they faced, and finding another way to speak out against brutality and oppression. It was just absolutely amazing. A special thanks to Cinemopolis for and FLEF for allowing us to have one of the first movies documenting the history of hip-hop called Wild Style at a showing during their film festival, the Environmental Film Festival at Cinemopolis, and for the large turnout of community members. Mm-hmm. So I do want to say a great big thanks to everybody. It was such an honor to have a whole different culture recognized, supported, encouraged, all of those things in our community, and to sort of put Tompkins County in Ithaca on the map as a place that values diversity, values culture from cultures from all over. So we're very thankful. If you have not seen the Colonel Press building on Route 13, Fulton Street, that was painted in maybe a day by, like I said, world-renowned graph artists, you should take a look at it. It is really, really amazing work that, you go to sleep and you wake up and the building has fabulous art on it. Please do. So thanks to all of them. at Workforce Diversity, we also took up a resolution with immigration reform, growing legs again at our federal level. We took up a resolution that we had spoken about a while ago when we had brought a resolution here around secure communities. We mentioned it, and this is the United American Families Act. We took up that resolution at WDIC help to have it forwarded to the budget agenda and to this legislature so that a resolution in supporting this and encouraging our representatives at the federal level to please remember the importance of our LGBT families when they speak of immigration reform. It's easy to forget. So that will be coming. The reading and discussion group of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee is continuing. Thursday is its third session, and next week is the last session. There are 9 participants in that group from several departments within our county, and we're really pleased about that. This week, the readings is all about giving as a part of inclusion, and many thanks to Dr. Sheehan for facilitating those discussions, and to Paula for her work in organizing this. So there's a lot of work that we're continuing. We should have our diversity policy. It's gone around the block following the review process throughout our county workforce and coming back to WDIC for our final once over and then on to this body by way of the budget committee. We are also thankful that the Living Wage Committee subgroup is meeting and discussing, because that is one of the areas that is high priority for us as well. That is my report.
Thank you very much, Leslyn. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you, Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee met on the 9th, and we had a very active agenda. The let me just run down some of the highlights here. If you recall, Joe put together a letter for Martha and I to sign regarding the cutback of 6% for the reimbursements for Unity House, the Racker Center, and Challenge. I want to concentrate for just a second on Challenge. The hit, as Joe mentioned already, they restored of the $6 million, they restored, they restored 25 to 30% of the money. It was about $2 million that came back.
Yeah, I think it was a 25% restoration.
I talked to Patrick McKee at Challenge, and what that loss means to him, it means to Challenge, is that the work centers are probably going to close. 60 individuals who probably are going to have a relatively rough time finding employment are going to be without employment, and it's a little devastating. I'll give you more information on that. Patrick may come to a committee meeting to give us the actual update as the numbers come together, but between that and the hit on Racker Center, Racker also took a hit. It's pretty devastating to the individuals who were recipients of those two programs. Remember, these are just the highlights. In addition to that, Frank Krupa, if you recall, they're preparing a strategic plan, which is internal for them. We had Frank give us the final piece of that. They hope to be implementing that as they go along relatively soon. I believe some of it has already been implemented. He's going to give us an update on that as that becomes more apparent. Probably as we begin the budget season, we'll begin to see a little bit more of that too. The second half is a community health assessment. There's an outreach effort going to be going on regarding that piece, and Frank was indicating to the committee that it's going to be quite extensive, drawing in departments, mental health in particular, but other departments as well, the community, and you. The 15 of us will probably be asked to comment on what we deem community health assessment might include. We had an update from Lisa Holmes. Remember, there was an article in the paper that I asked her to follow up on regarding the status of Alzheimer's and the increase in New York State. And indeed, COFA is dealing with the support end of that. It was quite an enlightening report. I'll have to see that you get copies of the minutes on that, because there is a concern about the increase in not only in New York State, but certainly in our county. In addition, I had the opportunity to, I'm the liaison to the Health Planning Council through the coalition, and we had a meeting on April 8th on the health exchanges that are going to hit in January of 2014. Dr. Arthur Versillo, who is the regional president for Excellus, was the guest speaker, and he walked us through. We had quite a primer in about an hour. The room was packed. There must have been 60 or 70 people at least there. Most department heads were there, a lot of agency representatives. But the health exchanges are going to hit pretty severely. One of the concerns was that the state has done very little about educating individuals on what's going to be needed. Dr. Versillo indicated that they're putting together a navigator system so that individuals that need help in reviewing the options that are available to them will have a guide to help them examine those options. A navigator cannot be one of the providers that are bidding on the insurance. They have to be independent. Lisa is putting together more information on that. Betty Falco from the coalition is probably, they're going to be the focal point for information right now, but there's a lot of concern because there hasn't been a lot of information circulating on it. Medicare recipients, remember, are not eligible. Medicaid are. Above a certain level, 138% of poverty. There's a lot to review, and it's going to be a real eye-opener for individuals. If you don't have coverage January of 2014, the first year there's a fine of $95 plus a percentage of your income, your gross income on your income taxes. That fine escalates over the next several years, and one might say, and this was a question that came up, why don't I just pay the fine and avoid all this aggravation? Well, you can do that, but you're going to be without insurance. And if you have an illness or, heaven forbid, a catastrophic condition, you're going to have to pay for that. Pay the fine and still have to pay for the coverage out of your own pocket. So that's why there's a concern about the lack of information that is circulating or not circulating. But I'll try to keep you abreast of that. But Betty Falco is an excellent source over at the Coalition for that. I'm holding the best for last, which is not the end of the report. We had a guest speaker, a guest come and ask for time on the agenda. Pastor Robert Foote, who's the pastor of the Lutheran Church up on Hannes Lane. Both Angela Sullivan from the Alcohol Council and Sue Romanchek gave us quite a report on the medicinal marijuana item that's before the state legislature right now. It's relatively quiet. A bill has already apparently passed the assembly. There's a bill in front of the Senate right now, and there's a lot of concern about what the negative effects of this will be. Everyone is thinking that, a senior citizen that needs to have this help, that's fine. But the fact sheet that Angela gave us indicates that the data does show that the risk really is unintended, because the individuals who have access to this material are selling it on the street. There is incidents of where that has happened, and the risk is quite large. I won't spend a lot of time on this now in the interest of time, but I'll see that you each get a copy of the fact sheet that Angela distributed. The concern right now, and she was almost pleading with us, so was Susan, we need to get a hold of the state Senate and indicate to them that they need to do a little more examination of this. And this is what Pastor Foote was implying, well, not even implying, he was stating. There are alternate drugs that don't have, the individual using them will not have the problem that you will have with the medicinal, with the marijuana. And if somebody needs that kind of medication, they're better off taking the other drug. They had quite a bit of information that they gave us, and they think that the state is moving a little too quickly on this. One of the major concerns is that big business is really behind it, and they're worried that one of the worries is that it won't be done in 1 acre plots in your backyard or my backyard, and you would get qualified to sell medicinal marijuana. They're talking about farms and the commercial aspect of this. At any rate, I'll see that you get copies of this. There was some discussion at the committee. We were not asked to bring a resolution forward. There were several committee members who indicated that there would be some discussion at this level, and perhaps not unanimous support for such a resolution, but at least we should have the discussion. We may ask Angela and Susan to come and give us a presentation here as well.
Let's let Frank finish his report, then I'll ask for questions.
The next meeting of the committee is the 14th of May, and I'll stop there.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, Carol and Kathy, and then Jim.
Frank, can I just ask, did the committee have anybody coming and talking about why the assembly, the reasons that the assembly felt it was appropriate to pass that?
No.
And will you, before you make a recommendation to the rest of the legislature?
We can.
It would seem to make sense to understand the rationales on both sides of that before it comes to us.
Kathy?
If the Ithaca Journal is to be believed, our governor threatened a veto today, for whatever that's worth,
of the medical marijuana
bill. As it looks more and more like the Senate's going to pass it. He talked, I don't know if he talked about it, but at our committee, they talked about unfunded mandates and other associated problems for local governments that are being pushed down that this could cause. So I agree with you, Carol. We've got to get some more information. But I was glad that they brought it to us.
Well, one of the major outcomes of this was we were not in a position to make a recommendation, because this was the first time the committee had heard it, and we really do need more information. That's a good suggestion, Carol. And thank you for what you said, Kath, about the unintended mandate on our health department to enforce whatever needs to be enforced. Sorry to go on and on.
That's right, Jim.
Relax, I'm not going to talk about weed.
Go ahead.
No, I'm not. I noted, and I didn't bring this up during the consent agenda, I noted the Human Rights Commission got four new members. And I also have learned that there are 15 slots on the Human Rights Commission. And I have two questions. One, how many people are now on the commission with these four new people? And two, and Frank, you don't need to answer this now, and are there any minutes or reports available from the activity of the commission, let's say over the last 2 years, that a person might be able to look at?
I will look into both of those for you, sir. Thank you for bringing them. I know Joe gave, I'm sorry, I neglected even to say it. Joe gave us an update on the search. Do you want to say something about
only
that?
Only with respect to the numbers, because I haven't asked for minutes or anything. With these appointments, we're up to six.
Okay.
There's still 9 opportunities out there, so if you know there's an interest among folks for an appointment to the commission, there's still 9 vacancies.
And I would say I just talked to Marsha Lynch about the TC3 appointment, and she said in response to that press release that went out, we had a number of volunteers that will now be considered. So I think Marsha would be happy to put together a press release on this one. How many openings still? 9?
9
openings still. Jim, were you finished or not?
No, that's good. I'm glad you mentioned the business of TC3. There are still people who some of us have contacted and trying to see if they have an interest in applying for that position.
Marsha, is there a deadline put on when applications are, if somebody calls, then they fill out an application. Yeah. So
on that specific release that I sent out, we mentioned a deadline of April 10th. However, that could always be extended.
Okay.
I mean, President Haynes would like to have a person, right. and I have assured him that the committee will make a recommendation in due time, and it will not be a long time.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then, Frank, on the health insurance exchanges, will health plan council be a navigator?
That's something that they're looking at now, because they certainly are not going to be an insurance provider,
right.
But they can be a navigator. There's quite a bit of training.
Right.
That goes
and that Jean McFeeters at the Chamber of Commerce received a grant, and she's really very knowledgeable, and the chamber will be a navigator. Probably not Jean, but somebody will be trained. So that people can go to whoever the navigators are in the county. People can go to whichever ones, and I think, so for example, Catholic Charities could facilitate enrollment for other social services programs. That's the sort of thing they could become a navigator. So there will be more than one, but the chamber is certainly one. It might make a lot of sense at the right time for us to get here a presentation on the whole exchange.
You're absolutely right.
Whether Betty or whoever it is feels like they have enough information, that'd be great.
Okay. I'll see what I can do on that. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you very much, Frank.
You bet.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
Yes. We had our last meeting, beginning of this week, I guess, and the only item of great importance that we passed, we already passed on the consent agenda, namely, this year, it's been a long time since I've heard someone in government say this, but we had an unexpected increase in the money from the state for highways, the so-called CHIPS fund. And the increase is 20% for this year and another 20% for the next year. And that allows us, believe it or not, it's my understanding, I wish Jeff was here, but it's my understanding from that meeting that will completely fund every item that we have on our books as the next things to fix, the next roads to fix. So that's a big positive effect, and everybody's very pleased about that. That's, I think, the most important item that came up.
Thank you very much, Peter. Any questions? All right, Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Well, like Peter, we did all of our business on consent. We did have a meeting, and besides discussing the and grants, we had a fairly good presentation, a very good presentation on the Cayuga Power Plant application to repower and consider other fuels. We also had a number of members of the public show up and express concern about this possibility. We did not act on that, and my understanding is that that may be considered elsewhere. It is, as you know, a very complex issue. Our next meeting will be on the 2nd of May, and I'm hoping that we'll hear a presentation from the WIB and from TC3, though I've yet to confirm this. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Will. Any questions? Great. Capital Plan Review Committee. Mike Lane, Chair.
Yes, we met on April 10th, and we reviewed the projects that we've been working on. As far as the legislature relocation, I'm pleased to announce tonight, after much consternation, that we have ordered chairs.
Ooh, which ones?
We had eight people vote for a particular chair, and the motion of the committee was to go with the majority, so there will be seven of us unhappy. But anyway, they've been ordered.
It takes eight votes to get a chair, doesn't it?
At least.
One more year of opponent.
It's chair number four.
But on the more serious side, the work is going well at the old courthouse, the Governor Tompkins Courthouse. The offices are being worked on. The wainscoting's been put in. The sheetrocking is happening. It looks like some of the things that we thought we would have to do, like completely rewiring the big chandeliers, may not have to happen because they apparently were rewired at the time the building was renovated in the 70s. And therefore, we have to put some new lights on them, but it won't be as expensive a project. So those things are all moving forward. People are welcome to go over there and look. You need a hard hat if you're there when they're working, but I think it's lunch hours time that they're not working. You can probably get in over there or arrange a time. We talked about the public safety building project, and Aurel Lamaro told us that we should expect some kind of drawings and focus from Labella engineers in the next 2 to 3 weeks. Again, that project is to try to reconfigure some of the space at the existing public safety building for better capacity. Labella is also looking at the human services building, and they haven't gotten to the point of making some recommendations there to see whether we can fit in the other criminal justice program. But stay tuned. That'll be coming in soon. We also had a PowerPoint presentation on our Center of Government study, which we'd like to bring to this legislature, at least in that version, and let you know what we did and why we decided not to build a $20 million center of government next year. But it shows that we look seriously at the concept. Tried to see if we could save money by consolidating businesses, and we passed a resolution that would be coming to this legislature to basically accept the report, but not to say we're going to move ahead with it at this point. That's pretty much, and we started some discussion about disposition of the old library.
Thank you very much, Mike. Any questions? Great. Peter.
Can I ask Frank a question that I meant to ask and forgot about?
I don't know. Okay, yeah.
Huh?
Sure.
Okay. Hey, Frank, is it true that if in states that have medical marijuana, if you want to establish a secondary market, is that against the law?
Frank, we didn't know you'd become the expert on a legislature on medical marijuana, but
I'm just thinking
about it.
I know that marijuana is outlawed. It's a federal, it's a violation, and there is someone in jail, even though the state had approved it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
live and learn. Okay.
Be careful if you decide to get into this business, Peter.
Okay, thank you all. Government Operations Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Well, you probably don't think we spent enough time on government outreach. We've already taken care of both of the resolutions that were before our committee. Our next meeting is on April 23rd at 10 o'clock from 10 to noon. That's it.
Thank you very much, Pat. No questions? All right, Planning, Energy, and Environmental Quality Committee, Carol Chalk, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The committee met on April 1st, and I'll talk about the other business later, but we did hear from the ITCTC, which I have resolutions for you. On packet page 55, but I'd like to point out, first of all, I'd like to point out that this is the budget for ITCTC, and that is one area that was not affected by sequestration. Their federal money is still coming in at the level it did before. There are two budgets in here, packet page 56 and packet page 58. They're the same numbers. Packet page 58 is what you should have looked at. It's just formatted better, and the headers are there. So it's federal highway money in that first column and federal transit money in the second column, of the third being the total. And so I will move the appropriate resolution J, docket number 4078, appropriation of 2013-2014 budgets for the Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council, and I so move.
Second by Will. Discussion. So people understand this is entirely federal money.
We provide, administrative services, bookkeeping, David Squires, that kind of time, but this money is federal money.
Ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution J, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous.
And the second resolution from them, again, they set this, we are confirming it, is packet page 59, Resolution K, ID 4076, affirming Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council, the ITCTC, recommendation to increase the ITCTC staff director's salary. And I so move.
Second by Dooley. Discussion. Jim?
Is there a percentage amount?
Here, it's in the resolution. It's 2%.
2%.
My resolution is gone.
We wholeheartedly supported this in committee. Fernando does a superb job.
Do we pay this?
No, this comes out of the federal allotment. And it is recommended to us for approval by the ITCTC board.
All ready to vote. All in favor, please raise your hand. Short roll call.
Mr. Okay. Shinagawa?
Yes.
Ms. Pryor?
Yes. Would anyone wish to be recorded as no? That's unanimous.
And then, in other business, we heard a report from the Water Resources Council. Marjorie Rinaldo Lee came and talked to us, and essentially it is what they reported on is in their annual report. It is on the Planning Department's website. I will just say water is just one of the most important things that we make sure we take care of. It's just one of the most important things that we do, and they have essentially they operate in committees. They have the most important drinking water committee that keeps on top of, and I think it's really important to continue to do so, the various threats and toxins that might threaten our drinking water. They have a waterway trails committee that is looking at the Blue Way Trail. They have a gas drilling committee that we have heard from here that also looks at water safety. Cayuga Lake Monitoring Committee that monitors Cayuga Lake with lake source cooling being one specific aspect of that. Stream gauges is an important issue before them now in terms of understanding and being able to continue, spending the money to continue to be able to understand how our streams are doing, and wetlands are their major things. But any other questions this report would answer. What else did we do? The planning department, we heard, well, Ed Marks provided a discussion about the Jacobson report coming out of Stanford on the renewable energy future for New York and the possibilities thereof. And that was interesting enough that I think we had already decided that that presentation would come to the legislature. So at the next legislature meeting, we can hear, we'll look forward to hearing more about that. Anybody interested in the link, I think, was it already distributed to the legislature, or it will be?
I think so.
Maybe it should be distributed to the legislature. There's the link, not the report. And I encourage people to glance through it before that presentation. There is also a six or seven minute video that's out there of some of the key elements there. So maybe that could be distributed as well.
Carol, do you have the link? Because I'm not sure I have the right one.
I will get it to you.
Okay.
I'll hold. Yeah.
You can just ask Kathy to send both to the whole ledge.
The link to the Jacobson report and the link and the 6 minute or 7 minute video, which I will send you. Okay. So I'll wait to say more about that until our next meeting, where we'll hear about it from experts. And then we also heard a report from Jackie Moiso Grube, who is the director of the Sustainability Center, and they had been aiming for an opening in April. There's just so much going on in April. At the beginning of our meeting, we went through all those dates. They just couldn't find a date to do the opening, so they're going to be opening in May, and you'll hear more about that. Our next meeting will be May 6th. That is the first Monday of May, because of the way the days fall, and I am working with Ed Marks on how, not only at that meeting, but at some meetings moving forward, we can begin to understand, I don't know, state and federal energy policy, how decisions get made about energy siting, energy routing. If we want to weigh in to somebody at state or federal level, particularly state level, about how they're doing that, which items do we take to the PSC and which do we take to NYSERDA and REGI, and what are all those acronyms and names, and how does all that work with an eye to, you know, is there anything that we can do with our limited time and resources that would impact any of that in ways that we haven't already talked about? So our next meeting will be May 6th.
Thank you very much, Carol. Any questions? Carol, I have a question. The Senate, the Assembly had before it a bill that would enact a moratorium on gas drilling for approximately 2 years. Did they pass that? Do you remember? Maybe it's been moved. Anyway, I guess I would ask.
I don't know.
I would ask that perhaps your committee could consider checking up on that, plus Senator David Carlucci's bill for a two-year moratorium. They're not quite the same bills, and maybe we can have a resolution coming out of PEEC to come to the legislature. I'm a little concerned that there's a lull of silence because Commissioner Shaw is considering, but I hope we can get those bills passed this session. So it'd be nice if we could consider that. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. I have one really important announcement that I'm hoping that all of my colleagues will help to disseminate in your districts, is by whatever means you can do so. And for anyone that's still listening to our meeting, if you are one of the people in the rural part of the county that is interested in getting broadband internet service as a result of the project that we just recently have received funding for, it's really important that you go on someplace, get to a computer where you can get on the internet and go to www.clarityconnect.com. And one of the links at the top of the page will lead you to what's called an inquiry form. And you need to fill out that inquiry form to let Clarity Connect know, excuse me, that you are interested in receiving service. You're not making any commitment by doing that. It means that you would like to have them contact you to let you know what they have available and when they're going to have service in your area and all the kinds of questions you might have about their service, including the cost and so on. But that is one of the ways that they will know where there are concentrations of people that are very, very interested in getting service, and it's going to help them decide what areas of the county that they're going to build out early versus the ones that will come further along on the schedule. So it's to your advantage in terms of getting service sooner rather than later to go on the internet and let them know that you have an interest in receiving that service. The committee itself is meeting on April 22nd, next Monday. We are kind of shifting our focus a little bit as a result of now having gotten the grant funding. We are still going to be focusing on outreach and marketing and helping to make sure that people in the rural parts of the county know that this service is going to be available. We're also working very closely. Susan Curry of the Tompkins County Public Library is doing a lot of work with the committee on education to make sure that people are going to have the skills that they need to use the various programs and so on that you can use with a computer once they get access. So that itself will help to encourage adoption of the service. And then we have a third group that is not completely formed yet, but that's going to be documenting the progress of the build-out. And it might be through a narrative, it might be through video, it might be through taking pictures, whatever, so that we can use that information as we go for future funding. We think that that will be helpful when we make application to try to find funding to fill in the gaps that the funding was left out for this particular round. So that's it.
Thanks very much, Pat. I got Will and then Frank and then Carol. Less than your hands up? Okay.
So I think I know the answer, but Pat, what about areas in the county that already have serviced by other companies? Is there any potential for creating competition through this?
Well, the objective of this program and is to reach areas that are unserved or underserved.
Right.
And the state actually has figures that are being used to determine in each area how many homes or businesses in that area are not served. And that's the primary focus. Now, is it possible that there will be some overlap? Probably. But that's certainly not what we're aiming toward.
Of course.
Yeah.
I understand that. Thank you.
I've got Frank, Carol, then Leslin.
Thank you, Martha. Pat, the announcement you made about having individuals log in and try to create a concentration of need in certain areas, is it possible for you and Marcia to work on some sort of a news item? A lot of us have, beyond the radio, and even maybe Channel 15 or Channel 13 might do a little PSA on something, but a lot of us have newsletters in our communities, and there may be an opportunity to get a little blurb out in our neck of the woods in Caroline and Danby. They're more apt to read the newsletter than... because it's a lot of local stuff.
Yes, we can do that.
Good. Thank you. Thanks, Martha.
And in putting that together, can they call Clarity Connect? Can people phone?
I'll get off the list.
Okay.
But it would be better if they do it. I know that's a problem when you don't have internet service. So certainly you can call, but if they can, most of our rural communities, for instance, in the libraries, if you have a rural library in your community, they'll have an internet connection that you can use to do something like this.
Right, but I assume somebody at Clarity can open up the form and fill it out, ask you the questions and fill it out. Do you happen to know the phone number?
I don't have their phone number.
Okay, well, if that can be included in the...
We'll include that also in that in the press release that we'll work on, or the blurb, however, whatever we call it. I'll give a more complete URL to take them directly to that form.
Okay.
Thanks,
Matt. And I'm sure it's not as convenient for Clarity, but they'll be getting the customer. So
that's right.
Thank you.
They can take the information. Anything else for Pat?
I very quickly. I love when people read my mind. Thank you, Martha. And for clarity's sake, Clarity Connect's sake, I mean, this is definitely in the spirit of making sure that we are as inclusive as possible. aside from the phone calls, I was just wondering if they, I know this is tedious, but goodness knows, if, you know, a good old piece of paper sometimes help people, that even those local libraries might carry the already printed out form or something that people can just fill out. I mean, I know the preference is to get it electronically because it's easy to tabulate, but that might be an option as well for people, you know,
actually,
who might be computer phobes.
I think that's a great idea, Tesla.
Thank you.
I'll see if we can make that happen.
Okay. Put a stamp on it. Right. Okay. Jim?
My sense is that towns who are not covered really have to spend a couple of bucks and inform their residents of the ability to do these things. And, you know, they have an opportunity and they have to seize that opportunity. And it may cost them a few dollars, but I think it's money well spent if they can contact the people that are paying property taxes.
Who's contacting the people? Who did you say? What was
town?
Towns.
Town board. Town supervisors.
I thought you were telling Frank to spend the money and let his people know. I thought that was Frank spend some money and let the people know.
You might want to do that, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Carol had something else, but not for Pat.
I owe you an ice cream cone already.
Okay. You owe Mike.
Oh, I owe Mike.
Okay. Anything else for Pat? Thanks very much, Pat. And I know the committee is at a sort of a crossroads to figure out what their next directions are, and I think what you and Dave have done is just amazing, and it's really terrific. We've moved so far. So, Carol, you have something else?
Well, so I saw Ken Schlaughter in the back of the room, so it reminded me of the PEAK report that on the topic that I talked about, energy policy and how it's set and how things are cited and who you go to for what, and on funding for that, what funding is available, what tax breaks are available, and what kind of funding is available for both small-scale and large-scale renewable development. If you have any ideas, any of you here have ideas of people who understand that without necessarily taking a position, but could just lay out for the committee how that stuff works, please let me know. Let me or Ed Marks know, because we're trying to put together a series of people over the next few months. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Do we have a motion on the April 2nd minutes? Moved by Peter, second by Frank. Any comments? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed?
Can I just say that those are terrific minutes, given that...
Whoa, hold on. I need a vote. Who's opposed?
Well, I just didn't get a chance to make a comment because you were going so fast on your discussion.
Are you voting no? I asked for opposed, and you raised your hand. So I don't know if it's two or three opposed.
I just wanted to make a comment before the vote.
Yeah, but I need a vote. We started the vote already. All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Opposed. That passes with two opposed. Kathy, would you like to make a comment?
I already did it. I think staff heard it. Thanks for your graciousness.
All right. Thank you very much.
Do you want a motion for executive session?
No, unless you want to. No. Motion to adjourn. Move by Frank, second by Pat. All in favor. Thank you all very much.
All right. Amen.